I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll get the reactions of both David Moyes and Jose Mourinho to the Champions League quarterfinal draw. We'll look ahead to the weekend's Premier League action, which includes game number 1,000 for Arsene Wenger as Arsenal manager. We'll hear from Stuart Broad ahead of England's opener at the World 2020. And we've got something a little bit different this week as our reporter Johnny Hart catches up with powerboating star Nick Williams. But we'll start with the Champions League quarterfinal draw, and Manchester United arguably given the toughest possible draw. They'll take on the European champions Bayern Munich. Let's get the reaction of David Moyes.
I was thrilled that we were in that draw and we're in the quarterfinal of Champions League. I've got to say I've probably drawn out the favourites and obviously the holders of the cup competition as well. So it's a really tough draw for us, but one I'm looking forward to.
Well, I know it's been a tough season for Manchester United and they had to fight tooth and nail to get through to the last eight with that 3-0 second leg win against Olympiacos. But I think it shows just how much United have struggled this season that Moyes is talking as if United are massive underdogs who are just happy to be in the last eight. Quite telling, I thought, those comments. Well, elsewhere, Chelsea will take on Paris Saint-Germain and Jose Mourinho's up to his old tricks. The mind games are out already. He's saying that both Chelsea and Manchester United are the rank outsiders in the last eight.
You have the two finalists of the last season. You have the two Spanish giants. You have Atletico, fantastic team over the last couple of years. Paris, with everything they represent. Man United are not having a great season. Maybe they look at us as the two clubs that all of them they want.
Well, there's no way Mourinho really believes that, I wouldn't have thought. Chelsea very much in with a chance in the Champions League. They are a team that can grind out two-legged results. We've seen that in the Europa League last season. And even though there are perhaps stronger teams in the competition than them, I would never count out any team that was managed by Jose Mourinho. Well, Chelsea are in action in the Premier League on Saturday lunchtime, and what a game it is against Arsenal. It's first against third. Chelsea with 66 points from 30 games. Arsenal 4 points behind, but with a game in hand. So if they could get a win at Stamford Bridge, that would be a huge boost to their title ambitions. Of course, bit of a sideshow in this one because it's Arsene Wenger's 1,000th game in charge of the Gunners. Let's hear from Wenger.
I must say, for such a long time, the club has always supported me, and I feel really that I'm privileged in that, because that's not always usual in our game. We have gone through difficult and fantastic periods, but always remained focused on being united at this club.
Well, at this stage of the season, it's certainly a game that Arsenal will feel they can't afford to lose. If they do lose it, then they'd be 7 points behind Chelsea going into the final eight games of the season. So that really would be a big blow. So that should be a fascinating London derby at Stamford Bridge. What about Liverpool? Well, they are second at the moment, level on points with Arsenal on 62, and also with a game in hand on the leaders Chelsea. They travel to face Cardiff, who are second bottom. Cardiff have had some decent results at home against the big boys. They drew with Manchester United. They beat Manchester City. Liverpool will feel that if they are to have real title ambitions, then they really do need to be winning the next two games against teams in the bottom three, Cardiff away and Sunderland at home in midweek. Well, Everton are up against Swansea. Everton still believing they can get a Europa League spot. They are sixth at the moment, 2 points behind fifth place Tottenham, but they've played two games fewer. Swansea still in relegation danger, just 4 points above the bottom three. And their manager, Gary Monk, has said that the players really do need to wake up and stop being complacent if they're to avoid relegation. Big game for West Brom as well. They're 3 points above the drop zone as they go to Hull City. So that's a tough trip for them. They could drag Hull into it if they can get a win. Manchester City will feel that they've got every chance of getting a home win against Fulham, who are rock bottom, but of course did pick up their first win under Felix Magath last time out at home to Newcastle. So a bit of confidence there, but you'd expect City to win that one at the Etihad. They've got 3 games in hand over Chelsea and are 6 points behind them. Newcastle up against Crystal Palace. Palace just 3 points above the drop zone. Two fellow strugglers meet at Carrow Road as Sunderland, who are in the bottom three, go to Norwich, who are just 4 points better off. And Manchester United, after that sobering 3-0 home defeat to Liverpool last weekend, they go to West Ham looking to bounce back. Well, there are two games to look forward to on Sunday. Tottenham went out of the Europa League in midweek, but played well in a battling 2-2 draw at Benfica. They're at home to Southampton, who are a dangerous team, who know they're safe, so can play with a fair amount of freedom. Tottenham, of course, have lost 7 of their last 10 games under Tim Sherwood, so they really do need to pick up points if they're to have any chance of achieving Champions League qualification. And there's a Midlands derby at Villa Park. Aston Villa up against Stoke. Villa and Stoke probably safe, right on the fringes of that relegation battle. Well, now let's switch our attention to rugby, and our reporter Lee Peters has the latest ahead of the latest round of Premiership matches.
Well, in the Premiership, Northampton Saints' title charge takes them to Sale Sharks on Saturday. Saints have won 11 league games on the bounce, but did suffer a rare defeat in the LV Cup final last week to Exeter, and will surely be looking to get back to winning ways. Saracens will look to maintain the pressure on them, though, when they welcome Harlequins to Allianz Park. Gloucester host Newcastle before London Irish face Bath in the late kickoff. And on Sunday, Exeter, fresh from claiming their first trophy in their 143-year history with that 15-8 win over Northampton, will look for their first win on the road since the start of November, when they travel to Welford Road to face Leicester Tigers.
England's cricketers begin their World 2020 campaign on Saturday as they face New Zealand in their opening match. Ahead of the game, let's hear from the England captain Stuart Broad. England, of course, have lost 7 of their last 8 games, including warm-up defeats to both India and the West Indies, but Broad is satisfied with their form.
We don't talk about we'll win the World Cup, we'll win tournaments. It'll be about making sure you execute your little processes, and if you bring them all together, you'll go far. So, actually, the other day I thought it was one of the best death bowling displays we've seen from the guys for a long time, bowling it to, obviously, world-class players. The way the openers, well, the way that we played the first 6, I thought was really good with the bat again. So there's positives that are coming out. The fielding was a highlight. We saw a couple of great stops early from Ravi at point. So there's little things that we can try and carry into tomorrow's game that that will really help us throughout this World Cup.
And we'll finish with something a bit different on the Ultimate Sports podcast this week. Next Friday and Saturday, which is March the 28th and 29th, London's Royal Victoria Dock hosts the launch of the 2014 P1 powerboating season. Our reporter Johnny Hart caught up with powerboat racer Nick Williams ahead of the big launch.
Well, P1 powerboating is one of the fastest growing sports on the water, with more than 130 events in 15 countries on 3 continents. In 2010, Powerboat P1 refocused its business, launching a new series, reducing the cost of participation in P1 events, designed to excite and entertain, ensuring spectator enjoyment and sponsor value with real economic impact for the host city. One of London's most historic waterfront locations, the Royal Victoria Dock, will host the launch of the 2014 P1 season with a 2-day exhibition event on March the 28th and 29th. And Nick Williams is entering his 3rd season racing with P1. He runs a successful FX business in London, and he joins us on the line to preview the new season and talk about the sport. Hi there, Nick.
Hi, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. For those who don't know very much about the sport, could you sum up P1 powerboating?
It's a one-class series which takes away the checkbook racing element. P1 powerboat, as well as the jet ski stuff, is probably best described as fast, furious, fiercely fought, and I think more importantly, free to watch.
And I believe your father was a champion powerboat racer, so it's very much in the blood for you.
He was Formula Grand Prix world champion probably quite a few years ago in the 80s, yeah.
So what can people look forward to with this big launch of the new season at the Royal Victoria Docks?
Well, like I said before, it's a one-class series which takes or removes the checkbook elements. You've got some good teams, some good sponsors there. It's very close racing. The jet ski stuff is fantastic, the Aquarex, that is. So you've got people like Jack Mill, who's British champion, etc., doing some freestyling stuff on the jet skis. You've got big sponsors like Taifu there. You've got the new Bournemouth boat there, Potemps Recruitment, and ourselves, IFX Racing. So it's close racing in small quarters.
And, of course, the great thing is that it is a much more accessible sport than people think, and not as expensive as you'd imagine.
That's right, Johnny. It's it is very easy to get into. There's obviously different entry levels. If you want to have your own branded boat, it may be a little bit more expensive, but most people come into a sponsored boat. And compared to karting or driving in the touring cars, etc., you can probably get in for around between £5,000 and £10,000 a season.
It costs that much to run a pony, doesn't it?
It does these days, yeah.
How does the season work in terms of the championship? I mean, you mentioned one of the drivers there. Who are the top drivers around?
Well, apart from ourselves, of course, Martin Robinson and myself, we've got the Perth Thames boat, John Wilson and Daisy Coleman, always fiercely competitive. You've got James Norville and Charlie in the GD Environmental boat. And Andy Wilby and Will Nurse as well in the Taifu boat. And, of course, our favourite Yanks from across the waters in the Al-Am boat, Tracy and Andy Biddle and Tracy Bloomstein.
Motorsport, of course, is big business, and motorsport on the water is attracting increased sponsorship, particularly over the last decade. And your sport has signed a number of commercial and sponsorship deals, hasn't it?
Certainly has. Just from a personal level ourselves, we were working with P1 management to do their currency when they're settling invoices abroad, and every time we do events like Victoria Docks, we seem to pick up business. We work with a lot of the Premier League football clubs. We've got Hull football club coming down to the event in Victoria Docks, the owners, so it's all very exciting.
And what sort of sponsors have you had over the last few years?
For myself, I'm working with people like Coleman Marine Services, more SME market. So we've got Coleman Marine Services. This year is very exciting for us, actually, because we've got a company called Watch This Live who are going to be broadcasting the events live from our boat, which is very exciting to our Twitter followers, Facebook, etc.
And what is it, do you think, that attracts sponsors to the sport?
Well, it's close. It's different. Every time you race around the circuit, it's a different track. You know, the water's forever moving. You have rough days, you have calm days, and it's dangerous. It's an X sport, you know.
And as we said, it's not just for the rich playboys either.
No, thank goodness, or I wouldn't be doing it.
And when does the season begin?
Well, we've got our first sort of PR day coming up this weekend, and then it's going to be in May, and then it's 1 month each month after that for 5 months.
You mentioned the weekend of the 28th and the 29th at Royal Victoria Dock. What are you expecting the highlight of the exhibition to be?
For me, it's definitely going to be the match racing. There's a match racing trophy, which is going to be racing down a quarter of a mile in a straight line against our competitors, against other competitors. Very close racing. It's going to be able to determine who's going to be quicker off those starts come the beginning of the season.
And if people want to come to the exhibition over the 2 days at Royal Victoria Dock, what do they need to do?
Friday, Saturday, all of the drivers are really, really wanting to encourage families across. Personally, I'll be taking people out in the boat. Whoever wants to come down and see us, please be my guest. I'd love to meet you all.
So there's nothing you need to specifically book tickets for?
No, just turn up on the day. You'll be able to go to the Crystal Room in Victoria Docks and you'll be able to be led to a boat.
And what are your hopes finally for the season?
First place, podium finish. We narrowly missed out last year on fourth place. We came in lying second in the last heat of the season and made some few errors with our weight, but ultimately we're here to win.
Okay, Nick Williams, thank you very much indeed.
That's it for this week from myself, Kevin Hatchard, and the rest of the team at the Ultimate Sports Podcast. It's goodbye for now.